Today on The Journey.
I know that I need to protect myself. And so when I talk to men, I always talk about these things. We need to lock ourselves up because we are capable of this. And if you're a guy and you think, oh, I can never really fall, this is innocent. I'm sorry, there's no innocence.
Satan's grand strategy is worked out on the field of battle. It's his tactics in the ordinary course of every man's day that can wound every man's life. In this broadcast, Ron Moore and men's minister Tun Chilkin identify those tactics so that you can be victorious in the spiritual war. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms from the book of Joshua that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here are Ron and Tunch with part two of their discussion titled, Under Attack, The Enemy's Strategy, on The Journey.
With me for this series, Engaging in the Battle, is Tun Chilkin, pastor of men's ministries and sought-after speaker on men's issues. Tunch, it's always good to have you here and go through these lessons regarding men. So we are talking about engaging in the battle. It's important that men understand that there's a battle going on,
right?
And we have to engage in it. This is a battle for our own heart, right?
Right.
But we're fighting for our families.
Yes.
So in the battle, the enemy always looks for the king.
Right.
Because they know if they can kill the king, the army's going to scatter.
Right, right.
If Satan can knock down the husband, mm-hmm. the father, he can do damage to the family.
Yeah.
And so we're not talking about engaging in the battle so at the end of the day, your life is in check. We want that as well. But you're fighting for your family. When a father goes down, a whole family is impacted
right.
by that.
Steve Farrar wrote a book called Point Man, and he talked about the point man's job was to be looking for ambushes, he'd be looking for booby traps, he'd look for landmines. His job was of the utmost importance. One slip up by him would mean not only his death, but the death of the entire platoon. And so Steve Farrar likens our jobs as husbands and fathers to the point man. I need to be looking for ambushes. Now, what can ambush me? So that's part of what we've been talking about. I got to know me. And then I have to start looking very, very critically and intentionally about what can devastate my marriage, my wife, and then my children. And if I'm not on the lookout, the prophet Ezekiel talks about being a watchman on the wall and how important that job was. If the watchman does not sound the alarm, God holds us responsible. So there's this real responsibility that is very, very serious and that has very, very serious consequences, not only to my family, but then really to me because of what God has entrusted me mm-hmm. with and what kind of steward I am of that.
And so if I'm in a battle and I want to take a city, I'm going to go for the watchman.
Yeah.
Can't sound the alarm and I can move in. And that's what Satan does. And so every man needs to know that you are the point man. Satan wants to take you out,
yeah.
and he's going to do it aggressively, and he knows our inclinations, and every one of us has a propensity to sin, and all of us are different, but every person has one area in their life that's a weakness, and we know it. Satan's not omnipotent. He is not all-knowing. He is not omnipresent, but he is a student of human nature, and he has his legions of demons to go around and try to trip us up. He has studied our nature enough to know where we are weak.
Just like the soldiers of the armies of Israel, they'd wear armor, but there'd be soft spots in that armor.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have a soft spot, and so we got to protect that area where we're soft.
We do. So Adam passively stands by the man who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. First time they realized they were naked.
Right.
So they sewed fig leaves together, and they tried to cover themselves. And, of course, we've been doing that ever since, right? Trying to cover,
try to cover
ourselves from our sin. So Satan takes God's truth, and he twists it. Mm. So, Tunch, let's just think about some truths that Satan takes and he twists. One at the top of the line in our culture is sexuality, right?
Mm.
Now, sexuality is a gift from God. Sex is God's idea. Man and woman are made for it. God has given it to us as a gift. Inside the framework of marriage between a man and a woman. Sex is a great blessing of God. So that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
So Satan takes that and he twists it. Right. So how does he take this great gift of God and then twist it in our culture to take us astray?
Well, all you got to do is look at the third chapter of Genesis and see the way he worked on it. He works on us the same way. Mm-hmm. Well, God didn't say, if you really love someone, even though you're not married, mm-hmm. or you're watching pornography, but you're really not engaging mm-hmm. with a woman, so this is okay. So Satan goes back to God's word, and he makes you question, did God really say that, mm-hmm. that I shouldn't do this? Then he gives us the thing that is very pleasing to the eye, and then says, go ahead. And we fall to this temptation, or it becomes a very subtle seduction in that we're just friends. You've heard me say this a million times, and you said it, is if you're attracted to a member of the opposite sex and you're friends with that person, you are in danger. Mm-hmm. You are stealing from your wife, which means you're stealing from your children. And if that woman is in a relationship, you're stealing from her and her husband. So all these things that are happening are a way that we are seduced by Satan. And we talk about it all the time. I'm entitled to be happy, but we buy it because it's pleasing to the eye and it's very tempting.
So you're a pastor of men's ministry. So I'm going to come into you and I need some counseling here on a couple things. All right.
Right. Yeah. Fire away, buddy.
So I'm dating this woman and Tunch. We're going to get married. I love her. She loves me. We're going to get married. But we need to see if we work together sexually. And so I think it's just a good thing that we would enter into a sexual relationship because, I mean, come on, Tunch, what if we get married and then that doesn't work in that area?
Yeah, well, this is the time to work on your friendship, Ron, and get to know this well. Do not put yourself in a position where you are going to fall into temptation, where you're going to be alone. You got to guard yourself and know that God commanded us that this wonderful gift is reserved for the marriage bed, and so you need to wait. If you guys truly work on your relationship, on the friendship, the communicative part, you will know that. That becomes a product of loving your spouse and wanting to please. So that's where that comes from, not from experimenting first and seeing how it works.
Okay, that's good. So,
do you like that answer?
That was very good. You've had that question before.
More than once.
Okay, here's another one. So again, there's not many questions you have not answered.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of funny. Every time I think I've heard it all,
yeah,
someone comes in with a new one. And I like, oh, okay, now I've heard it all.
This one I haven't quite heard yet.
You know what? And every once I'm going, wow, that's a new one.
Okay, so here's another one for you, all right?
Okay.
By the way, I want to make sure everyone knows these are hypothetical.
These are hypo. That's right. That's right. I'm not counseling Ron here.
So a guy comes to you and he says, you know, I've been married for 20 years or so, and some things have gotten a little stale at home. And the sexual satisfaction that I know that's what God wants, right? That's not really happening at home. And Tunch, I'm still married and I'm a father and I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to do. But at work, there's this younger woman, and when I'm around her, I feel more alive. And she's attractive, and we're having a great conversation. Now, Tunch, I haven't done anything. And you know, I'm not going to do anything. But the conversation, I got to tell you, it's appealing. And I kind of think about as I go to work, how am I going to interact with her today and what I wear? I start thinking about my appearance a little more. But it's just innocent.
Danger, danger, danger. Run away, run away. Look, you're kidding yourself, number one, if you think that it's innocent. And number two, you are already engaged in a fantasy. And I always tell guys, and they look at me like I'm crazy, I go, when you've engaged in the fantasy, don't think for 1 minute that you will not act on that fantasy if it presents itself. So here's the thing. Do not engage in those conversations. You cannot be friends with that woman. If you are already in thinking what you're going to wear, man, you are in some deep weeds. Mm-hmm. And you got to get yourself out of that. You can't be friends with an attractive woman. I don't care how good it feels. Feelings are very misleading. They're deceptive. You got to pull yourself out of that. And I do get that a lot, that we're just friends and I'm not going to do anything. I have counseled many, many men who have started out saying, we're just friends and I'm not going to do anything. And then they fall into an affair. And then all of a sudden, the pain And it's a lie. The woman God has given you is the perfect woman for you. There's not another woman out there. It's not right. like, oh, gee, if I would have just waited, that is a lie directly from the pit of hell. And that's how Satan wants to seduce us.
As you said, Satan is going to tell us that we deserve this, that this is just innocent. Nothing is ever going to happen. You just keep enjoying that conversation because you're not doing anything.
Right.
And that, again, is a lie from Satan. He masquerades as an angel of light. And, Tunch, I think it's so important to drive this home to men. Right now, you got to make some decisions.
Right.
I don't know what your work situation looks like. If you are traveling along with a woman, that is a dangerous situation, and you need to stop that. If you are meeting with a woman continually, and that's part of your job, you got to make sure the door is open or the blinds are up or there's someone right outside your door. Take the steps to guard your person and your heart before you get in the battle. It'd be
yeah.
like you played football for all those years. When do you get ready to play the game?
Yeah.
What would Chuck Knoll, your coach for those many years, have said if the game's getting ready to start and you're running on the field, putting on your uniform as you're running on
yeah.
the field?
He put somebody else in. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what guys are doing
yeah.
when they're saying, oh, I can handle this. I'm not going to guard myself. Or I'm in the middle of the battle. What do I do now? You don't get dressed for battle in the middle of the battle.
Yeah. I am very guarded. I've always been very guarded. I want to be guarded because I know what I'm capable of. Look, I know what's in my heart. And so I know that I need to protect myself. And so when I talk to men, I always talk about these things. And a lot of times a guy will look at me like I'm crazy. Are you serious? I mean, that almost sounds fanatical. And I go, yes, it is. We need to lock ourselves up because we are capable of this. And if you're a guy and you think, oh, I can never really fall, this is innocent. I'm sorry, there's no innocence. And so if I'm going to meet with a woman and I have to, because of work, I am bringing an assistant with me. Mm-hmm. I am bringing another guy with me. If I am traveling, I am not traveling alone with a woman. I'm going to bring someone else. We're going to go separate ways. Separate flights. I've even gone a step further where guys really think I'm nuts. I think it's good to have a guy roommate. I always say when you got a roomie, there's a lot less trouble you can get into.
Right.
That's the reality of it. An old buddy of mine, Leo Wisniewski, and I were in this company. We were doing instructional coaching videos, and we traveled a lot. Well, we would room together, and everybody on our team, we would put together, and they would say, well, that's kind of unusual. And I said, well, you guys are married, so you're rooming together. Wizard and I are married, we're rooming together. That's the way it is. This way, there's no temptation to turn on pornography. You're held in check. Accountability. Accountability. Should I say it again? Accountability is your friend. It is the best way to keep yourself from messing up big time.
And you got to do that early on, and you got to do it before you're in the midst of the battle. You have to get the armor on. Because you are walking into a battle. So we've talked about sexual satisfaction. Let's talk about this one. Work is good, right?
Right.
God created work. He wants us to work with our hands. He wants us to provide for our families.
Right.
But man, you can twist work into becoming a workaholic pretty easily. And a lot of guys do that. But I'm providing for my family.
Yeah. You know, once again, you can lie to others. You can lie to yourself. But you can't lie to God. When we fall in to workaholism, it's usually for us. It is, I want to be whatever, whether it's for the money or for the prestige, for the power, for moving up the corporate ladder. It's usually me-centered. So whether it's me because I want more stuff, more money, or me because I want to be the president of the company, or me because all my significance comes from the job, it's usually me. And so we need to take a good, hard look. Tozier said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And so that tells me that I need to keep examining my heart. And work is a great example. At what point am I going above and beyond what I really should be doing, need to be doing? And at what point is it pulling me away from my marriage and from my children? Or at what point does my job make me compromise my integrity? So this whole kind of introspection, self-evaluation is something I got to be constantly doing because maybe I'm good today, but am I good tomorrow?
People who have issues being a workaholic are not people who hate their job. Workaholics are those who really like their job.
Yeah.
And their job can easily become a god. That's where they get their self-worth. That's where they get their significance. That's where they get their satisfaction.
Yeah.
And that's something we really have to be careful with, because I love my job.
Yeah.
You love your job.
Yeah.
And when you could be doing that all the time, after a while, do I love Jesus or do I love just teaching about Jesus?
Right.
Do I love Jesus or do I just love the church and leading a church?
Right.
You the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Do I love Jesus or is it about men's ministry right. or the platform that God has given you? Again, Satan masquerades right. as an angel of light, and he can take the truth and just twist it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's where we have the problems.
And that's why we have to constantly keep ourselves in check. You know, once mm-hmm. again, you and I have talked about this. We talk about it constantly. Because of my past, I want men in my life. I like knowing the men are watching me. I need that. I welcome it. And for me, there's freedom in that. Because I'm not trying to fool myself or fool mm-hmm. others that somehow I've got this whole thing worked out. I always ask my buddies, like, look, man, you see something, you tell me. You see something that is inconsistent, you tell me. And so I feel like I have this additional layer of insulation or protection that mm-hmm. these guys got my back. I know that if I act like a knucklehead, these guys are going to call me out mm-hmm. on it, and I need that.
Jeremiah said, and I think about this often, the heart is deceitful above all things,
yeah.
desperately wicked. Who can know it? I am capable of rationalizing any sin. My heart is desperately wicked. So that's why I need someone else to say, hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? I don't know if you meant this or not, but what you just said or what you just did didn't look right. And we've got to have those people around us. And people who live in isolation, and you can be surrounded by a lot of people and live in isolation.
Right.
It's just a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place to be.
There's a way in a man's heart that seems right, but in the end leads to death. And that's a great proverb. Very, very convicting.
So the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Mm.
Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. That's got to be a daily prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, search me and make known my heart to me.
Yeah.
Let me see it, because I can't see it on my own.
Do you know that song?
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
It's a great song, but I'm not going to sing it.
Please don't.
No.
Because I've heard you sing it.
You'll be
among
hearing
your many talents.
You'll hear the
singing
radios.
Singing is not one.
radios all across America. Click.
One loud click. Okay, so Satan twists a lot of truth, and we can talk about these, but I want to get down to this one, and this is huge in our day. God is love. We are to love other people. So today, if I tell you you're wrong, then you say, whoa, where's the love? That's intolerant.
Where's the
That's
love?
That's judgmental.
Yeah.
You can't say that. Anything goes, because God is love, and we're just to love everyone. And if you love me, you accept me. So in our culture today, Satan takes this truth of love
mm-hmm.
and then he twists it so that if you call anyone out, mm-hmm. the accountability thing,
right.
it's intolerance.
Yeah, I think the biggest part of that deceit that we have fallen for is that we're going to rock the boat. And so we come to a point where we start compromising what we believe to be truth. And I think that truth with mercy and love is what we want. I mean, I want truth. Don't tell me I'm a good guy if you see something. Call me out on it. Look, the truth is sometimes hard to hear, but I want to hear it. Mm-hmm. So if I want to hear it, I need to be able to share it. And I think we need to understand that we don't do it in condemnation or even in self-righteousness, mm-hmm. but truth is truth, and truth is part of being loving.
Galatians says, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, go confront that person.
Right.
Now, when it says you who are spiritual, it doesn't mean you who are perfect.
Right.
But at that point, God has placed you in a position to go confront another believer
right.
who's trapped in a sin.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a guy who's in an affair, and so I go to a friend of theirs and say, look, you know this person, you need to go confront them. I'll
right.
go with you, but let's go confront them. I don't know if I could do that because, you know, I could sin the same way, and who am I to be judgmental on that person? So even believers will fall for this
yeah.
trap of, well, I don't know if I should really go confront them because, gosh, you know, by God's grace, there go I. Well,
right.
that's true, but God has put you in that position at that point.
Yeah, and here's the thing that we have to understand, that we're doing it as protection. You know, in Stu Weber's book, Locking Arms, he has a chapter called Guardrails. And he said he was driving in the Colorado Rockies, and there's these beautiful vistas, and he noticed these guardrails. He said, man, those are so ugly. They need to get rid of those. That is taken away. And he lost control, and he skidded towards the guardrail. Now, he didn't hit the guardrail, but he noticed that it was like 1,500 feet sheer drop, and he went, oh, man, good place for a guardrail. And so that's what we're called to be for one another. You know, confronting a brother a long time ago who was on the verge of having an affair, and I remember talking to him till wee early in the morning and arguing and saying, no, you can't do this. And once again, someone who fell into the lie of I'm entitled to be happy, I'm not happy. And so just going through that, and, you know, if I wouldn't have confronted him, and I'm not saying aren't I a good guy, no, because I would expect the same. Look, you know, I need help. We need help. That's why we need each other. We need to be the guy that calls someone to come. You know, if a guy's drinking and his tongue loosens up and he is no longer living under the control of the Holy Spirit, he's now living under the control of alcohol, and you see it, it is our job to say, hey, bro, I saw you the other night. You had a couple of pops, and what you were saying was not very Christ-like. And, man, I'm telling you this because I love you, but the reality of it is this is what you said, and this is what you portrayed. And I would expect the same thing in return.
So when you're playing a football game, you have an assignment.
Right.
And you're to carry out your assignment.
Right.
And in those situations, God has given us an assignment.
Right.
It's not our judgment. We have His Word.
Right.
And we go to a person on the authority of God's Word. And that's why we have to have, as you have said often, guys in our life who are not just yes men or tell us, yeah, you deserve that, but a guy who's going to come with the authority of God's Word to say, look, here's what God's Word says. We're going to hold each other accountable to this. And you drop the ball in this area. Got to get this thing right.
And most guys will thank you for it. And look, we're talking about in a relationship with someone who we know. We see what's going on. And I've had guys that have been mad at me for bringing it up, but in the end have said, man, thanks, I needed that.
Right.
And a lot of times, the person that's in it may not even see it.
Right.
And so the initial confrontation may seem judgmental, but then the guy will say, oh man, you know what? I didn't even think about what that looked like. I didn't think about, you know, really what I was doing. And you're right, that's our job. And we need to do it in a loving manner, but direct and based on the truths of the scriptures.
So Satan can come at us and he takes the truth just like he did in Genesis 3 and he twists it, calls God a liar, tells us that we deserve anything we want. We deserve our happiness. He often masquerades as an angel of light.
Right.
And so it looks really, really, really good. You know, we can tell if it's evil to stay away from that or to go into it. We know what we're doing, but the angel of light just barely twists the truth. Man, those are some challenging situations in our life. And we have to be in the Word of God. We have to be in prayer. We have to make sure that our life is where it should be spiritually. We have to have the armor on so that we're not susceptible to Satan's fiery arrows that he will indeed shoot at us.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an important upcoming event.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, I want to invite you to join us in person this summer for our Relevant Faith Apologetic Series at one of our campuses in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, or at our Wilkinsburg campus. If you live outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join our online campus on Sundays via our website, our app, or our Facebook page. This series runs from the weekend of August 10th and 11th through the weekend of September 14th and 15th, and it tackles some of the most important questions facing our culture today. Questions like, is there absolute truth? Is the Bible reliable? The person of Jesus Christ and the significance of the church. We also plan to offer a podcast on these major theological questions in the coming months. So visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org. You can get more information there about this series and about our church. And our prayer is that through this engaging series, God would draw unbelievers into a relationship with Jesus Christ and equip believers to defend their faith and stand for Christ in their schools, in their workplaces, and communities. We'll see you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.